Well, hi, everybody, and welcome. It's great to be back with a reunion. I really look forward to these. I know a number of you have some exciting projects and publications and offerings to share with the group. I'm eager to hear from you and your wins and progress notes. What's going on? Let us in on it.
Hi, Dave. This is Sharon Jenser.
Hey, welcome, Sharon. Just a little bit louder, please.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm on a
Great.
Headphone.
Yeah.
Is this better?
Even better, yeah. More of you is better. Go ahead.
Well, I am really excited. My concept paper for my dissertation is finally on its way to being approved. My advisor likes it now.
Congratulations.
So I'm extremely excited, and I've been thinking about potential names for the website. Right now I just have my domain name of Jenser.com, but it occurred to me that's way too about me. So I would love at a certain point, I don't want to monopolize time now, but at a certain point I have a few other names that I've looked up, and I'd just love to hear what people prefer so I know what to order and how to get my website, you know, I'll get my website switched over to that domain.
Well, that'd be great. I mean, you can send it directly to everybody, and we'll vote. Or if you'd like to send it to me, and I'll put it in context. But feel free to use the reply to the invitation or the reminder, and get people to vote. You know, we
great.
You know, as a group, we hold on to our opinions very loosely. So we'd be happy to respond to you. That sounds great.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the exact one of them.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
What is right now the working title of your dissertation?
Oh, let's see. I don't have it in front of me. It's something like mindfulness intervention for well-being or something. I'll look it up. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, that's a great super. And are you doing some original research, or is this a literature research?
It's an applied. I'm required to do an applied dissertation, and it's a health education degree. So essentially, I'm supposed to be teaching health education in some fashion, and I plan to do it on a website. And which is why the name is so important, because afterwards I plan on monetizing it. So I want it to be a name that people will think of, as opposed to my name, which it's like, who's ever heard of me, right? You know, so that's why the name is important. And I'll be doing an 8-week intervention where I try and get people to, on a holistic basis, to change their behavior, health behavior for the better. And I'll take measurements before and afterward of their perceived vitality and their sleep quality. You know, so I have measurements because it's a quantitative project, but yeah. Does that make sense? I'll be doing health education on the web, so I don't go to a classroom. It's all technology oriented, so I'll be able to reach more people. And like I said, you know, the idea is monetize it and set that up as an opportunity to not only continue doing health education on the web, but also as a means of getting coaching clients, you know, for those who want more in-depth, personalized, or small group coaching. You know, it'll be my venue for how I get those clients.
That sounds like a terrific game plan, and making it quantitative rather than qualitative, I think, is a great prep for that, and really sets it up nicely. That sounds exactly exciting for what you're doing and what I know your interests are. So congratulations. That's a huge progress. Yeah, and we'll
Thank
be
you.
Able to, you know, have some input about and vote. This can be a much better vote than we're framed with now in the political arena. So I look forward to this vote.
Yeah. Oh, I just looked up the concept. I just brought the concept paper up so I could give you the exact title. The title is Mindful Healthy Living Concept Using Internet-Based Intervention.
Wow. Is that title taken? as a URL?
I doubt it. Who would want that? Well, a little bit too much typing, right?
I don't know. It says it. I would at least grab that grab that and tuck it away. You know, I've said I have 50 or 60 domain names, and I use maybe a fourth of them. But get it so nobody else gets it, and tuck it away, and you'll be able to see and play with it.
Well, I use as a tagline. Whoops, sorry. I was going to say I use as my tagline, experience the joy of living in wellness, and so I wanted to use something with joy and wellness in there.
Okay. We'll be happy to vote. Was there another comment?
Well, I wanted to make a comment. This is Karen, and that is...
Hey, Karen.
Hi.
Introduce yourself, because you're a rookie for this group, and I'm very honored to have you here. This is Karen McCall in California, and she has an incredible program. Tell them about your program.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
And then you can make your comment.
Well, okay. Or you know what? I didn't want to interrupt her, but I did want to make a comment. What if I make the comment and then I felt bad interrupting? Otherwise, I'm then taking the show. But this is what I would suggest: is in addition to seeing if the URL is available, I would also recommend that you see whether it's trademarkable, because having the URL is one thing. But if you want to have this be, you know, one of the products that you're going to offer and it's going to build, then you want to make sure that the URL you're selecting is something that would be brandable, I mean trademarkable.
Right. Oh, that's a great idea.
Great point.
Yeah. Okay. I'm Karen McCall, and my business is the Financial Recovery Institute. And in 1988, I started a business called Financial Recovery, where I worked with individuals, couples, and at that point, not with small businesses, but with individuals and couples who had really dysfunctional relationships with money, whether it was overspending, chronic debting, under-earning, lack of savings. And then that has evolved over the years. I've published several things, and I now primarily focus on education and training money coaches internationally.
And what Karen and her coaches do is very complementary and not competitive with New Money Story Mentoring. In fact, I very recently referred one of my extended clients from a family I'm facilitating some work with here in Houston, who happens to live in L.A., to one of her coaches, because there's a real complementarity about what they do in terms of working with clients. So I think it would be helpful to get to know her site. Tell us, I thought I could reel it off, but I'm not there.
Recoverycoach.com? Financialrecovery.com, yes. Yeah, and it is very complimentary. I got up really early this morning to study for our class this afternoon, and it's just reinforcing how complimentary, because one of the things that I do in my process is I have people really work with the numbers. So I have software for both individuals and for business folks, so that we really see, well, what are the numbers telling us about the story? And then, you know, with Dave's work, it just really complements that in terms of, you know, all the recent brain science. And I've been using Dave's work from the very beginning with his book, Emotional Business. And then what was the first one? What was the one before that, Dave? Emotional Business and
The Last Taboo.
Yeah, The Last Taboo. Yeah, so that's how I found Dave. And I have used his materials and had everybody that I train buy his books, because I do love, you know, the clinician, the psychiatrist input here, because I'm not that. I come from a business background.
And it's a
and very recovery
complimentary work. Her book, Financial Recovery, goes through all of the aspects of structuring a budget and understanding. I have a client in London right now who is working through page by page that book, and has added tremendously to the work that that we're doing. And Karen is now doing the New Money Story Mentor Training, so we'll be even more familiar with each other's work. So I encourage you to get to know her work, and it's an excellent book. Her most recent book, New World Press, Financial Recovery, is really outstanding and can be very complimentary to what we're doing, to give people more of a structure and kind of a how-to that supplements what we do. So, okay, Doreen, speaking of money and California, Gloria, are you with us to bring us up to date about what you're hatching? Gloria Manchester, not quite here yet. She's going to be here if she's not already and going to tell us about a new program that she's launching. So let's continue to open it up. Other wins, progress notes, what are you guys up to? I know you guys are up to a lot. Don't be shy here. Anyone want to just say hi?
Well, they this is Naomi. I'll say hi.
Hey, Naomi. Welcome. How are you? That's right. Speaking of rookies, go ahead here.
Did you add another rookie?
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited just to be in on the group. It sounds like a really great group, and where people are really doing some really great things. So I'm excited to be here.
Tell us what you do and what you're going to do.
Well, what I do is I'm a life coach. I work with nurses in helping them with transformation in leadership, and basically that's to look at themselves as being the leader within first, developing that leader within first. So that's what I'm focusing on now. And I'm newly starting training for certification for the new life story with Dr. Dave. So what are we like? At
and
2 weeks, I think tomorrow will be three weeks, yes.
Yeah, and bring in a lot of experience from a whole professional career involving nursing and teaching nursing and that sort of
yes,
thing.
I've been a nurse for over 30-some-odd years now, just recently retired from the corporate workforce so that I can really do my business more full-time now. So I'm really excited about that.
Excellent. Okay, well, thanks. Thanks for joining in. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Hi, Dave. This is Joe. I'm sorry.
Joe, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Dave. This is Joe Erskine.
Yeah,
pleasure
what's
having,
going on?
Yes. Doing good. I just wanted to get to say a win. I actually sat down and went through this weekend the Brandathon.
Yeah.
That I got from your email, the email that you sent out. So that was very interesting. That was my first one, and I was proud of myself that I actually sat down through the whole 5 to 6 hours it was.
That's
and
amazing.
So that was that's a win for me.
Yeah.
to sit down that long.
Yeah, that is, yeah. Well,
so other than that, I just wanted to say hi and just to say that I did attend that. So it was interesting.
How did you find that?
That
was
flowed.
That helpful to you?
It was. I never heard of it before, you know, and I went through, new life story, including with the new money story. So I was trying to see how all what we learned from, from the new life story series to how that fit in, but it did. And so it was great. And then also the book that you sent us in advance, I was able to look over that and compare everything. So that's what I was doing. That's why I sat through it.
Okay, well, super. Yeah, I did the one last year and was there for the in California for the whole thing and was in the green room and, observed what I did participate in. And John Assaraf has incorporated some of the Your New Money story into the training, and we've collaborated about how he does that and that sort of thing. So I'm hoping that will also benefit especially those of you who are listed in the registry as New Money Story coaches or mentors, and will generate some referrals for your business there. So I'm expecting that will continue to blossom. He pulled together some great people. Two of my buddies were in this group. So I think if you have a chance to look at it, look at some of it, all the better. So thanks, Joe. That sounds great.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Who else? I wanted to mention just a couple of things. There are a couple of things that I'm working on that I want to spend maybe just 2 or 3 minutes at some point adding. But and I'm encouraging each of you to let us know what you're up to, what you've done, how we can be of help. If there are links or things that you would like to send out to the group, I'll be happy to compile those and send them out in a follow-up. If you have books or anything that you're about to do, let me know. Also, and the reason I'm mentioning this especially now is to be sure that your listing on the registry is current and is up to date. Bill, my IT guy, has incorporated some new software there. There are some things that that I have coming up that I'm going to be referring directly to that registry. I'm going to do some live workshops. I've decided to pry myself away from my Eames chair. I know it surprises some of you. I'm going to be doing a workshop at the New England ICF group. There are 600 members there. There's a Karen, you may be familiar with this. There's a Multiversity 1440 Retreat Center in California. Some of the Omega Institute founders and the CEO and some of the principals there have put together a California version of the Omega Institute. And I'm going to be doing a workshop there on Money Story. And then later a buddy of mine who does the What's Next Exec retreat with me, he and I are going to be doing that for career transition for business owners and CEOs. And then I'm about to do an Academy of Culture Ambassadors in Santa Fe. So there are a whole number of things, I'm saying this, that will generate some interest in what we're doing and expand our brand even further. So be sure that you're on the registry and somebody can see your picture, your specialty area, and how to contact you. And in that same vein, if you need the link again to the ebook based on the roadmap system, Successful Life Story Transformations Using the Roadmap System to Change Mind, Brain, and Behavior, I'll be happy to send that to you. It's a way I think that you can introduce clients and potential clients to your work and the system that you use. It's a free download. It's a lengthy book, because there are like 31 or 32 contributors, with each having done a roadmap case study and then some annotation about the 5 sections, divisions, types of stories by me. But I think it's an offering that has helped some people really get a better understanding of what is unique about our approach of using mind, brain, and behavior changes that last, coupled with strategic coaching. So if you need a reminder or a link to that, let me know, and I'll be happy to send it to you, because I think it can do some practice enhancement. I'm interested in hearing more about what you guys are up to. Any wins, updates, success stories? Who else? It doesn't have to be huge. Now, we've had some huge wins here, but who else and what else? I know there are, I see on my dashboard there are a lot of you guys out there, so I'm interested in hearing from you.
Let me check. Okay. This is Ace
Wagner. Ace, welcome. My man,
how are you? I'm doing pretty well.
All right.
Thank you.
I forgive you for being a holdout there. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to be incognito, and you kept pressing. I know you were looking at my name on the dashboard, so I jumped in.
Yeah, I lied about the dashboard, but I knew it would flush out.
So yeah. I just had a quick win, and that is that the referral system can work. And so from one of my compatriots and your training classes through the years, who you've mentioned earlier today, gave me a referral for a client, and it just worked out great. And it was a short, you know, 45-day engagement kind of a thing. But it really pushed me, and that happened because she believed in me to have made the referral, and then that created an opportunity for me to do a kind of coaching that was a little bit different than what I was used to, and it went really well. So that's my win.
Give us just a paragraph, Ace, about your unique background and what you bring to coaching and the business and entrepreneurial experience you have so that people can get to know you just a little bit better.
Yeah, I spent 30 years running a business, owning and operating a fairly sizable enterprise, and transitioned from that, having realized that perhaps my neurocircuitry had been written in a way that I just decided that's what I had to do because my pappy had me doing it. And then Dave here helped me unwind that to a certain degree through coursework because I made a decision to enter the coaching field and was afforded the opportunity to have been assigned him as a teacher through the Coach Training Alliance. And so the transition from business owner and trying to use my skills with that many years of experience in the startup world, and so I do a lot of coaching of early stage businesses, and I try to use the experience of my prior business world, but also the coaching and the neuroscience of the coaching to try to help these startup companies stay focused on perhaps what's most important down the road for them, and to maintain an attitude or to reverse their brain circuitry because they're taking a gamble. I want to help them recognize that gamble but do so with confidence because it's very easy to get distracted, let's say, in the early stage enterprise at all that's not going right. And so I guess that's a combination of the new training and the old business experience that I try to bring to my current coaching career.
Super. Thank you. That's great.
Hi, Dave, it's Gloria. I'm on now.
Welcome.
I'm sorry I was late. Thank you.
Well, I was checking on you earlier because I knew you had some exciting stuff going on. I'd be eager to hear you describe to the group and bring us up to date. Welcome.
Oh, sure. Was that just Ace talking?
Yes, it was.
I recognize that
the
voice.
One and only.
Hi, Gloria.
my group and I are planning a women's summit, online summit, 3 days, and it's called My New Story Summit. And my new story comes from, of course, Dave's work. I mean, everything is about a new story, so we highlighted that. And somebody we all know and think a lot of is going to be a speaker at this summit. I guess you can guess who, Dr. Kruger. And there'll be several others. Judith from Conversation, Judith, Conversational Intelligence for Women. She's going to do a talk on that. We're going to have, like, I don't know, probably 15 speakers. And women, it's really dedicated to women in their second half of life. So all the things that those women would want to hear about. And they're all going to be on this 3-day summit. And it launches January 31st, actually, but we start marketing January 10th. And it's very exciting. We expect 3,000 to 5,000 women. The biggest project I've ever done, so it is just, I'm so happy to have Dr. Kruger with me on it, and so that's anything else. I don't know.
It'll be just us girls chatting about some stuff. I will send out a link to this to everyone on the call, and I will be sending a notice to my entire list of people, so Gloria will send me that so that you'll be sure that you're aware of it, but just a heads up now, so you'll be looking for it. Probably what, the latter part of December, Gloria, or when do you think?
I think so. Yes, I would
okay.
say that. I think the first part of November, of December, January. I'm sorry, January is when we'll start marketing it because it's a launch, so everything's going to zero in on that launch time. But yes, and there'll be opportunity for everyone. The summit actually is free to women for them to come in and see two or three of the we're calling them online breakouts and speakers and interviews. We're going to have direct interviews, like Dr. Kruger's going to do a webinar, and then there'll be live interview afterwards. It'll be a recorded interview, but it'll be live with him when we record it.
And then
and I would have to pay being a guy, except that I'm presenting. So I got in on the farm.
Uh-huh. And yeah, and he's got a kind of, the work has to be geared to women who aren't coaches, although there'll be lots of coaches online. And it might be a great thing for you coaches to have your clients that fit that population to also have opportunity. And then they'll be able to choose different webinars and interviews they want to see and hear, and they'll be able to keep for a small dollar amount. It's not going to be expensive at all. They'll be able to keep whatever they want to be able to look at it when they want to look at it. So, yeah, I'm excited. And, yeah, H was just talking about risk. This is my big risk.
Well, I have seen firsthand the organizational and administrative skills Gloria has in putting together things like this, have worked with her before and participated, and she has an outstanding crew of people, including a guy who did a webinar and put together the whole stuff from a few words into a webinar with pictures and slides. I mean, just an amazing array of people that she's pulled together, all of whom are experts. So I'm very excited to be part of it.
Great, and I thank you for that.
Yeah, so you'll be hearing from both of us then about that with an announcement. So thanks, Laura. I'm glad you could come on and say something about that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Super. Well, who else has got something going on? I know no one out there is idle.
Well, this is Naomi again. I can consider the win that I did get to read the relationship, the white paper that you sent to us on the systems of relationship stories.
Okay.
So I think that was a win, getting through that.
Okay. All right, great.
And I thought it was very good.
You're referring to the white paper on attachment, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I caught a couple of you latecomers up with a couple of the white papers that I had shared with this group before. So I just so the group will know exactly what you're referring to. They saw that about two or three groups ago. But I'm glad
okay.
It was helpful to you.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I haven't changed my mind about most of those things. So it's still pretty current. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's expand it then. What kind of questions do any of you have for the group? Any challenges or questions or things you would like to use the group as a kind of mastermind to brainstorm about? Challenges in any way, business, marketing, practice, clients. What would you like to bring to the group and have the group respond to?
Hi, this is Sharon Jenser again, and
great.
I have a question about for the group. Just need some input. I have a company structure. It's based on my name, Jenser Wellness Institute LLC. I've had it for several years. It's how whatever coaching money I do get comes in through that. My yoga teaching, you know, anything related to my wellness business, I funnel it through that entity, and my website is currently Jenser.com. Now, if I change the website name, how important is it to have the business name match the website? Because keep in mind, the website's where I'm going to do health education, you know, instruction and get coaching clients from that and maybe do some online work on that venue, but I still teach yoga. I still do workshops, so I still need a name also to pay taxes. You know, the IRS wants to know what's your name. How important is it that the website name match the company name? Or is it not important at all?
Okay. Who's had experience and who wants to log in on that?
Hi, Dave. This is Randall.
Hey, how are you? Great. We have a true expert from just down the road a piece here in Houston. Randall, introduce yourself first, and then your answer will have more meaning and context.
Yeah, Dave, I'm an enrolled agent, which means I'm a federally licensed tax specialist as my primary day job. And I work with people of high net worth, both in the mundane of taxes and as well as right now we're trying to expand that into the mind of money, if you will, and get them in the right mind because I have found that there are too many mental things that get in the way of just the standard practice of tax and accounting. In answer to the question that was posed, though, the name on the website has absolutely no relation to how you collect income and how you pay taxes. You can call yourself Google.com, and your legal name is Alphabet Inc. So there is no relationship whatsoever, although you may just want to put in the very, very small print at the very, very bottom of your webpage, owned by your name, your corporate name. You know, something of that nature. But
great
for tax.
And thanks for the introduction.
Thank you. So for tax purposes, it doesn't matter. I mean, the IRS just wants to get, you know, the taxes that are due, and that'll be filed through the entity. But from a coaching standpoint, from a, I guess you would call it a marketing standpoint, is it going to be confusing or disturbing to the general person who doesn't know me, perhaps, the referral twice removed, that wants to remember my website, comes to my website, and then when they get their credit card bill, you know, as a membership site, they go, hey, that's not the same. You know, how should I be concerned about that?
Go ahead.
Karen and then Randall.
Okay, just a little bit about my own personal experience.
Can you get a little bit closer to your microphone, Karen?
Oh, yes, I can. I can just take it off speaker.
Way better. Thank
you. All right, so, yes, you're welcome. Way back when I started my business, Financial Recovery, I knew nothing about branding or, you know, we didn't market on the computer at that point. I mean, there was none of that at that point. And what I've learned is how much I didn't know. And so anybody who's starting a business and building a website, I would really encourage you to think through what your brand is going to be, and you want to be doing everything that enhances the brand. And that's why you want to think about, you know, can you trademark things? Are they tradable? Right now, it's so difficult to get an original name. I mean, to get a name like Joy and Wellness and those types of things. A lot of times they have to be made-up names now, like Google. You know, as Dave said, he's bought so many URLs, and that's true for many, many people. When I've seen the money coaches I've trained start out with, sometimes they're referring to their name, and sometimes they're referring, you know, as, say, Seattle's money coach. It gets really, really confusing. Now, your webmaster behind the scenes can do things that link it up, but I would really... My recommendation is to decide whether you're going to brand your name or if you're going to brand a company name, and that you really have consistency in doing that. So, you know, if the URL is available, I'd also contact a trademark attorney, or maybe somebody on your team would have an idea if something is tradable or not. I'm going through that with my software. I've been using the name MoneyMinder for my software and a lot of my ebook products for many years. And earlier this year, I got a cease and desist from a company who is also using MoneyMinder as a name for their accounting software for nonprofits. And so now we're in a battle, which I will probably win because I've been using it since 2002. And so they really more influence on me. But, you know, we often don't know when we're creative types, you know, when we start a business, we don't realize all those business questions that you want to get answered ahead of time. Probably one appointment with a trademark attorney for an hour would probably, you know, really be a huge help. And so you want to know what that is. And my recommendation is that your brand, like Martha Stewart and Oprah, their name is their brand. And so people can do that, but then you want to be consistent. Like, I don't brand Karen McCall. I brand Financial Recovery.
Right, right. Now, I've already trademarked
it. Yeah, you can save yourself.
Oh, you do. You have a trademark. Say
well,
it.
I have a trademark on my name. So I have a trademark on Genser Wellness Institute. So that's taken care of. But I was just thinking, wow, you know, nobody knows me. And it's not the kind of business that you could grow and then sell easily. Like, I mean, it's not impossible. Martha Stewart's an example. Hewlett-Packard. I mean, there are names out there that are sort of going on in perpetuity. But, you know, as a quickly approaching elderly woman, it's unlikely that I'm going to build such a following that the company is going to go beyond me with this name.
It sounds like a good name. How do you spell it? How do you spell your last name?
Sure, it's Gentzer.
It's a Genser Wellness. Look around the corner and to be asking the kind of questions that you are, and I think Randall's comments and Karen's are both very important, and they're not mutually exclusive.
Right.
You know, Randall's comment was, it really doesn't make a difference what the ownership of your website. My website is Kruger Holdings, LLC, and that's the name of my bank account. That doesn't appear anywhere except, as Randall mentioned, at the very bottom, you know, owned by. So
right.
That the LLC doesn't make it. That's not what you brand. You brand your presence and the comment about and that Karen has made about trademarking. I think that helps you both ways. It helps you so that nobody steals your idea and the work you put in on something. And in the beginning, it protects you so that you're not encroaching on somebody else where they can come back at you later. And you will see, and I mentioned in the MentorPath Partners letter that I do a good deal of work to protect our brand, that MentorPath is trademarked, New Life Story Wellness, New Money Story Mentor, those are all trademarked so that they're protected. I have a Google search set up, a Google Alerts, so that anytime anybody uses that, I'm aware of it so that I have my own cease and desist letter that I paste onto an email if that ever occurs, because it is work and an obligation to protect that brand as well as to enhance it. And that's some of what I do, because I want that brand to be of value to you when you use it. And
right.
I think it takes some work to do. So you asked some really good questions, and I think there's some great points about that. Any other comment or perspective? Sharon, does this clarify for you your specific question?
It does. And, you know, I hadn't really thought about that much, the trademarking of the website name, assuming it changes from my current name of Genser.com. But that is a good point, because obviously if I'm going to do branding on that, that's really important.
Well, one other thing, if I may add, the purpose of your website will also dictate the direction that you go. By that I mean, is your website primarily a billboard, or is it a transactional type of website? If it's a transactional type of website, where you're going to have a shopping cart, where they can buy literature or other items, well, ultimately you want all your money to be funneled into your entity name. If it's just a billboard, you're going to promote your name, whatever name you want. And, of course, it's not just necessary to make a trademark. You can get a DBA, or which means a phantom name that's linked to your legal name that you can protect. And those are other elements of a business that, again, may or may not be linked directly to your tax effects. And so whenever you have an entity, one of the things that I teach about for people that are starting their entity is that your entity is there for two particular protections. One is legal protection, and the other is tax protection. And sometimes they conflict with one another, but very rarely. But for the most times, that's the only reason why you have an entity, is for those legal and the tax protections.
great.
You know, that was interesting that you mentioned about the DBA. Now, I'm familiar with the acronym, but I'm not familiar with how you make it official. I mean, do I have to register somewhere that
yes.
the DBA, or do I, okay, is that
yes.
through the trademark?
You either registered at the state level, or in some cases you can register at the county level. But understand, if you register at the county level, your DBA is only valid and cannot be duplicated by anybody within the same county that you are doing business in. If you register at the state level, then you can get protection from anybody within the state, but somebody in the next state could use the same name. So your DBAs are limited to wherever you're registered.
And then the trademark is national then, right? That's how you go national?
Trademarks are federal, but again, that's a trademark. So the name Google could be used by anybody, but you can't use their design of their trademark. Now, their trademark may incorporate their unique name or unique spelling of it. Google, by the way, is a unique spelling of the word Google, which means 1 to the 100 power. Or,
right.
I'm sorry,
it's a mathematical,
10 to the 100
yeah.
power, which is spelled differently.
It's a mathematical term. Okay.
Yeah. But the idea is that Google has gone around and protected it in all 50 states and, of course, in other countries as well. They've tried to cover that on a universal basis. But that means they literally have to go register their mark in hundreds of countries. But then again, they've got enough money to go get their army of lawyers to do that. But you don't need protection throughout the world. You just need protection in the United States, or you may need protection just in your particular market.
Right.
So think of the scope of your business. And you're right, as far as the personal name, that's all part of the marketing and the branding, and certainly the name, Barbara Smith might not mean anything worldwide if they're not doing business worldwide, but Barbara Smith might be an important name in the local market, in which case you want to protect it locally. You know, Barbara Smith Enterprises, whatever it is. And so you have to think of the scope and you have to think of the future scope as well. Am I going to be as big as Dave and be national, or am I just going to be local? You know, how do you want to be?
Right, right. Well, my website's not just transactional, it's interactional. It's literally where people will meet, sort of like Facebook, but different. It's a forum. A membership site. So basically, anybody who speaks English, because that's the only language we're going to communicate in, you know, can be on the website and talk about health and wellness.
Okay, so you need protection because as wide as you can, because the English-speaking world is still 1/6 of the world. So.
Right, right.
But
right.
You may be satisfied with just doing business in the United States, Canada. Whatever,
right.
And may
right.
need to limit it just to those.
So just a practical place that this comes together, the most practical and the initial place this comes together, Sharon, is that at your business checking account, they accept your LLC, which probably is going to be your business checking account name, your DBA, and your name, that any of those three will be deposited to that account.
Right, and I do have a business checking account, and I have no problem. I mean, the banker knows me.
Great.
I go in, they do all of that. So if I register a DBA, I'll just let them know that as well then.
Exactly.
The only thing you have to be aware of is you don't want somebody you're doing business with to write Sharon a check individually. Because then you can get the IRS to think, well, I can't tell the difference between Sharon the person and Sharon's business. So you just want to make sure that everybody who writes you a check, or all the credit cards, are all funneled through the business name.
Right. Right.
Great advice.
This is very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, super. Thanks. Well, super. Who else would like to?
Dave, can I add one more thing to this? Because I've started.
Please.
So many, and I made a mistake, and it started. Now I'm integrating all my websites because I use my promotional name, whatever program I'm selling. That's what I have a landing page for my program. But do you have an LLC, and if you're the only member in your LLC, I file my tax returns with my business. And
Lori, can you get off speaker and come directly on to the line?
Okay. Yes. Yes, I can.
Is this better?
Way better. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So I was just saying that I've made some mistakes, so I just wanted to give you some information about that might help you. I have like 23 website names, and I have a trademark, Prosperity IQ, I trademarked, and I have all of that, but doesn't mean that they're all, they're all conformed to one integrated company. Although I do use my LLC, Leadership Education Action Programs, as the main company. That's where I file taxes jointly, because I'm the only member in my LLC. So I file taxes personally with my LLC. And that can also, you can do that and not worry. But like Randy said, you've got to make sure all the checks that go into the company are made to the company or the DBA. Or you file
right.
a DBA for a program. I've got like 6 DBAs too. So.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, I do a pass-through. It's a, an S-Corp pass-through, but yes, the Dental Wellness files a tax return, but then any income and on the expenses, it generates
a K-1. So you're an S-Corp, though, not an LLC.
Well, I am an LLC, but I file taxes as a pass-through S-Corp, and
okay.
so any
yeah.
taxes,
okay.
it's a K-1 that I, my personal.
Yeah, yeah, that's different. Yeah, yeah. You have to file a corporate tax return with that and a personal tax return. But
right.
I thought if you had an LLC and you're the only member, you can combine those two. So, okay.
Well, I do.
I'm a
one person LLC, and the way the taxes occur, it files
a K-1.
S-Corp. Yeah, and then I get the K-1 and I put it into my personal return, so it's a pass-through.
Okay, let me
yeah.
summarize this, or let me make a transition here. I'm considering becoming a conscientious objector for federal taxes, kind of like Donald Trump. But let's move on now to any other mastermind questions that you have of the group or would like to get group input on. We have a terrific group of people with amazing group wisdom here. So who would like to run any other challenge or question to the group? What about any other discussion topic that would be helpful for you, for us to brainstorm about? Anything?
All right, I got one for you.
Okay.
Hi, I'm working with a young couple. And they're engaged to be married, but they aren't married yet. And the concern is, excuse me, I don't know, I killed two phones with one button here. So the question becomes one of what happens as they discover their financial background makes them not compatible for marriage. We get a situation where we get comfortable as we go along.
Is that occurring, or is that just your concern?
That's a concern.
Okay. What's an example of incompatibility?
One's a spender, one's a saver.
Okay. What's incompatible, though?
Well, obviously we're trying to rewrite their money story, but they come from totally different backgrounds, and by that I mean different nationalities, different religions. I mean, it's kind of a combination of the yin and the yang, one fits in the other one's spaces, as opposed to being the sameness. And the concern becomes one of they're realizing more and more of how they think about money, where they haven't thought of it before, And they understand that it is an important component of a successful marriage is to at least be on the same page. Maybe not necessarily, you know, they're not going to all save the same amount of money. They're not going to think all of the same about money or anything else. But the concern is that, you know, they make a realization that they're not made for each other. That's the concern. Great. So you don't want to put a wedge. You don't want to put a wedge between them. You want to do it the other way around. You want to bring them together.
Okay.
So the question is, how does one, in a general way, make sure that you're putting them together and not driving a wedge?
Okay. Let's open it up. What do you think, Bruce? I'll bet some of you have had similar experiences in coaching couples.
This is Sharon. I think I don't have any experience coaching couples on this, but I would think that as a minimum, making them both aware of the situation, you know, so that they go into this relationship with their eyes wide open.
I'll be happy to share some things that I've learned in working with couples. This is Karen.
Great.
Well, one of the things that I found very powerful, I have an ebook called Your Money Autobiography. And I give that as an assignment. And then what I've seen is so often when they come together and they're reading and sharing their money autobiography with the other person, they start gaining some empathy about why and the other. I'll give you an example. There was a couple where he liked to pay bills once or twice a month. She liked to pay a bill every day it came in. And it was just a huge wedge between the two of them. When they did their money autobiography and he heard about the fact that she used to have to go to the store as her parent, to the door, when the landlord was pounding on the door of bill collectors, the parents would hide and she would have to say, my parents are not here. And so that's one thing that was really helpful. I mean, at that point when she felt she was really seen and heard, she was able to let go of it being so rigid. And so they were at a compromise. The other thing is when we go through and create the categories for where they're going to spend their money, I'm really looking for each of them to talk about what's really important to them. What are their needs? And again, you know, we then work actually with the numbers of doing a spending plan where both of them can start seeing, you know, how we're going to meet their needs. So I get really into the numbers with them and the categories that they're spending. So, for example, if we get to food, you know, then I want to know their story about food, and then we can start putting numbers to what they spend on food, their home, their hobbies, their entertainment. And so that's the way I work with couples, and it's been so, so, so powerful. And that is if they're in a committed marriage. One of the questions I will ask is, hey, you know, how is your marriage? Are you here because you want things to work out, or, you know, do you each have plans of seeing a divorce and seeing divorce attorneys? And once they establish that they really want to, or even if they don't, if they're planning on getting a divorce, then the approach would be a little different. But it's worked really, really well getting concrete into the numbers and trying to see where the deprivation is, the needs for each one, so that they can really be talking about what's really going on rather than what they've created.
Great responses. Others?
Thank you.
I think, Brandon, you used the concept of yin and yang, and I think being mindful that without a yin, there would be no yang, and without the yang, no yin. And so, as Sharon, I think, mentioned earlier, putting these issues on the table to discuss them openly creates the possibility of understanding their differences in approach, but perhaps not just around money, but other personality traits, just how they look at the world differently, will help them come to recognize hopefully the balance of the yin and the yang together in a marriage. Because it goes beyond money, as important as money is. But my point here is to reinforce the notion of putting those issues on the table to help us, each of us, understand the differences that we may have and how we approach the world. And by comparison, find other personality issues to draw in the money question so that it too can simply be seen as a way of being. It's just how they're wired. And by putting that on the table, I think there's a prospect for understanding.
I would tend to agree, and obviously the no matter what their real situation is, if they never talk about sex, kids, or money before they get married, then they're going to be frightfully surprised on the other side, is my thought.
Absolutely. I think the wisdom that we're hearing is exactly what you began as your initial answer to your question, that their brains are wired differently for what money means. One's brain is wired to be a saver, another is a spender. There are various aspects of many different stories and many different issues. You mentioned sex, kids, and money. And money is only one of various things and entities with meaning and attribution. You have begun a process of looking at moving from two individual stories, in this case, in this example, two individual money stories, to crystallize awareness of that. And you will see, as you get to Module 7, Money and Your Relationship Story, perhaps some exercises that will help further illuminate and crystallize these issues so that they can come together and create one common unified story from two individual stories. And that includes an empathic appreciation and awareness of what meanings and attributions the other has. So this is going to lead the way, possibly because they're working with you and this is going to be in the foreground, but this is going to lead the way to other aspects of their differences and their individual experiences and meanings and attributions that will serve as a model to create a significantly better, more informed, and more caring common ground as they go forward. So you're looking at what we experience in a number of ways of moving from two individual stories to one common co-created one with understanding and co-development of that new story. It's a superordinate story to either of the two alone. So it will be new and different, and that's what they share, as well as the understanding of their own stories better, as well as the others. So this is a terrific opportunity to do a great deal that just happens to be crystallized by the issue of money. And most of the issues that are about money are really about other things that are way more important. It's important in its own right, money, but it's also representative. It's a Rorschach that a lot of other things hitchhike on, and you'll be able to see and probably do some maintenance and prevention of a lot of other things hitchhiking on money because of your awareness and the work you're doing with them. So great, great point and a great possibility here of creating some, a prototype situation of how you bring people of disparate backgrounds and experiences together.
Thank you for all your input.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else want to add anything? We've got just about a minute. Anybody want to add anything over their left shoulder while the plane's taxiing on the runway that you didn't want to get into too much, but you want to say anyhow? Now's the time. And that usually is prefaced by an, oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way.
People wait until the conversation is almost over and say, oh, by the way, and that's the most important part of the whole conversation, but they want to be sure their exit is planned. No, go ahead. I talked over somebody. Go ahead.
Well, this is Naomi, and as far as the spender and the saver, I haven't coached anybody in it, but I actually live that because I'm the saver, my husband's the spender.
Yeah.
And one of the things I would just suggest is which was kind of mentioned, looking at the big topics. So when it comes to do you want to buy a home, what do you think about as far as what are you looking at as retirement, those big kind of ticket items, how would we take care of children, private schools, public schools, just even being able to tackle some of those big topics and see where they're coming in, that will help give them insight into where they may need to look at compromise and compatibility as far as their finances are concerned. And then, as someone said, children, money, all of those things, when you start putting all of those things together, and they may look at it and have to decide whether they can come and compromise on those things.
Thank you, Noam. A great point. And Randall, that you're asking this question, you're way more than halfway there to look at co-creating a new common ground, a new story together. And that's going to supersede any individual story and be even more important that you have an awareness of this so that you don't get lost in the content of money, because that's so easy to do. So thank you all very much. Send me anything you'd like to send around to our group, or send it directly, and I'll be happy to do that. I'll send around a recording as soon as it's available through my IT guy. Thank you so much, and I welcome any ways that I can be of help to you. Don't hesitate to shoot me an email. Thanks so much. Bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.